to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the very Reverend Raju Thattankara, who is the Vicar for Clergy and the moderator of the Curia for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. He is also the pastor at St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles Parish. Good morning, Father Raju. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Jesse.
If you would now proclaim today's gospel from Matthew.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And some familiar words in this gospel that call us all to allegiance and also the power of hospitality as well. So what are your reflections on this gospel?
Thank you, Jesse. There is a wise saying, when God is at the center, everything else finds its proper place. A wheel turns smoothly when its hub is strong. In the same way, our lives run well when Christ is at the center. Let me tell you a kind of joke. A child was asked in catechism class, "What is the first commandment?" And he replied, "I don't know the number, but I know God wants to be first." Sometimes children understand the gospel better than the adults. The gospel also speaks about hospitality. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me." Every person we meet carries the image of God. The stranger, the visitor, the lonely neighbor, the new parishioner, each one is an opportunity to welcome Christ. There is another wise saying, "The door of a generous heart is never closed." We live in a world where people often practice selective hospitality. We welcome those who are useful, influential, or familiar. But Jesus invites us to welcome even those who cannot repay us. A smile, a listening ear, invitation to sit with us, these can become acts of evangelization. Let me tell you, Jesse, another story. A teacher asked her students, "If you had two houses, would you give one to the poor?" And the students said, "Yes." They all answered unanimously. "If you had two cars, would you give one away?" "Yes," they said again.
Okay.
Then she asked, "If you had two chocolate bars, would you give one away?" One boy said, "No." The teacher asked, "Why not?" He replied, Because I actually have two chocolate bars. Jesus says that even giving a cup of cold water to one of his little ones will not go unanswered or unrewarded.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that Jesus does not speak about grand miracles or huge donations. He speaks about a simple cup of water.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think, Jesse, holiness requires doing extraordinary things. Not necessarily. Holiness often means doing ordinary things with extraordinary love. A phone call to someone who is lonely, a visit to a sick relative, a word of encouragement to a struggling student, a meal shared with a neighbor, a prayer offered for someone in need. Now, these may seem small, but in God's eyes, they're precious. So remember this saying, no act of kindness is ever wasted. There's a beautiful story about St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. A reporter once asked her, what can we do to promote world peace? She answered simply, go home and love your family. It sounds so simple, Jesse.
It does.
And it contains profound wisdom. The kingdom of God grows not only through great public works, but also through small daily acts of love. Every act of kindness, every word of forgiveness, every sacrifice made for another person becomes a seed that God can use to transform the world. As another saying reminds us, great things are done by a series of small things brought together. When we place Christ at the center, our ordinary actions become extraordinary witnesses of His love. So, today Jesus invites us, put Him first in our lives. Welcome others without discrimination. Practice simple acts of kindness every day. For whoever welcomes another in the name of Christ welcomes Christ Himself. And whoever welcomes Christ welcomes the Father who sent Him. So may our hearts be open, our hands generous, and our lives centered on Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful reflection. So much wisdom, especially the quote there from St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, talking about how that peace that we all seek in the world begins in our homes, in our families, and especially this time of year when many people may be on vacation or maybe seeing family that they haven't seen in a while, sometimes things can get worked up. It's the time to let that go, and that peace beginning at home will translate to the whole world, which is what she meant by that beautiful quote.
Mm-hmm. That's very correct, Jesse.
And so many people that carry things that maybe they're angry about or that they still have resentment about, you mentioned forgiveness, and it's such a beautiful thing to truly forgive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your parishioners have come to you often to say, Father, what do I do to really, really forgive someone, especially if they've been hurt? Are there any words of encouragement you can offer us about genuinely digging deep for forgiveness?
Yeah, the most important thing is, Jesse, that forgiveness must come from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be a show.
Right.
It should be after your prayerful time with your God.
Mm-hmm.
You make that decision. Then it becomes rewarding. Just to show, just to make somebody happy, peripheral level, don't go. Don't make a show.
Right.
So rule number one, go through your heart, your conscience. Forgiveness comes from, I am a human being. Jesus has forgiven me. I must do the same. It's difficult for me. But you have to.
And that's part of the cross that he's asked us to carry, and in some instances very difficult to do, but still not impossible,
right,
if we continue on that track of prayer and reflection. And also, of course, maybe going to adoration, having quiet time to allow him to work in our hearts to really find true forgiveness, because that is the seed of a lot of unrest.
Right.
And it kind of costs us a lot of peace, both personally and in the world, for those who can't let things go or let true forgiveness rule their hearts and guide them.
Right. And that's very true, Jesse. You know, people find it, often they come and tell me that, oh, Father, it is very difficult for me to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the most important thing is, if God is the center of your life,
mm-hmm,
forgiveness becomes very, very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the first question, before we do anything, ask ourselves is God our first priority when we make decisions,
mm-hmm,
spend our time, or face difficulties? That's what Jesus reminds us, that when God is first, everything else finds its proper place. The problem, the humanity goes without God. And we want to do things, but God is not in us.
Mm-hmm.
God is somewhere else. He is not our priority also, the center of our lives. We can discuss practical ways of keeping Christ at the center through exactly what you said,
mm-hmm,
through prayer, worship, adoration,
mm-hmm,
and family life, and daily choices. So that is the great words of wisdom, Jesse, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way, the practical way. We rule out all these practical things,
mm-hmm,
simple things that can be done, and we want beyond that, like outside of all these, I want forgiveness. I'll do it because I want to show somebody I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But inside of you, you are with so much resentment,
right,
grudge, anger.
Those things build up, and after a while, it does cost us our peace, both on a personal level and even beyond that, as Mother Teresa suggested. So we will discuss a little bit more about how we can use some practical methods of finding ways to put God at the center of our lives in just a few moments. As Our Shepherd's View continues, we will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon. On this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, I am here with the Vicar for Clergy and the moderator of the Curia for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, the Very Reverend Father Raju Thattankara. Father Raju, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Jesse.
We are reflecting on Matthew's Gospel, talking about practical ways that we can put God at the center of our lives. You so beautifully used an example in the first segment about how our lives are like a wheel, but we place God at the center of that wheel, and the wheel becomes that much stronger and rolls a whole lot more smoothly. So in keeping with that idea, how can we find practical ways to have God be the center of our lives every day?
Yeah, one of the ways Jesse, remember the gospel that we read, Jesus says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me.
Mm-hmm.
How do we treat strangers, visitors, newcomers, or those who are different from us?
Mm-hmm.
Do we welcome only those who are familiar and comfortable, or are we open to everyone? This question invites reflection on how Christian hospitality can build stronger families, parishes, and communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one of the important virtues, hospitality. When you are hospitable, God becomes in your deals,
mm-hmm,
or in your dealings, and he becomes the sender. So that is one aspect of how we could, that beautiful virtue, hospitality,
mm-hmm,
to make God as your sender.
And we also, in welcoming those that we may not be close to or that are strangers to us, we end up forming a friendship. We allow God to be present in that interaction. And from that, we can gain maybe friendships. We gain inner peace, as you were saying, and also allowing God into our lives, maybe in a very unassuming way. Maybe somebody who we don't expect, who will bring such positive things to our lives, somebody that we welcomed in a very genuine way, but not realizing that they'll bring many blessings to our lives, as I'm sure is the case with many times we meet people from either far away, they're visiting, or maybe people that we're not familiar with. But the more conversations we have with them, the more we learn and the more we grow.
Mm-hmm. And that's true, Jesse. Also, you know, we need to, in our short span of life on this planet, we must recognize Christ in the people we meet each day.
Mm-hmm.
These days, with all this media and with all these devices,
a lot of distractions.
And we don't even look at face to face. They're busy. But this particular gospel, it teaches us welcoming another person is welcoming Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
How would our attitude change if we truly believed that Christ is present in the people around us, especially those who are difficult, needy, or overlooked? So this question can lead to a rich reflection of human dignity, human respect, and Christian discipleship. So something that in this lifetime we need to put into practice is respect the dignity of the other person. Respect that person. You know, Jesse, I spoke last Sunday in my church that many of the relationships fail when you disrespect somebody. For example, a couple. If you disrespect, your love begins to fade. You may be telling, oh, I love you. I love you. Beautiful words or beautiful. But if you do not respect that person, it becomes a failure. And many, many people, I'm sure some of them know, they suffer in relationship. So that's something that we need to put into practice in our lives. Not just in family only. Even anybody in workplace. We need to respect each other. We need to have that dignity given to that person.
And those are beautiful words, Father, the way you express that, and finding that dignity and making the effort. It does require effort, as hard as it may be for some people, to put the phone down and to not look at the phone when you're interacting with someone, or to really give your attention to what that person is telling you and truly listening. What we have experienced in our culture is a very, as you said, distracted mindset. And it's very easy to wander off, even when you're having a conversation with someone. But making a concerted effort to open the door to God by putting your phone down and and really listening to what the person is saying. I see so many people out at meals, at restaurants, that are all on their phones. They're not even looking at one another.
That's
so
pretty true.
One of the steps that we maybe could take toward working to what you're suggesting is making a habit of turning it off, and making that one change is a step toward what you're talking about today, which is what Matthew is telling us in this beautiful gospel, placing God at the center, recognizing him too in the people around us.
That's very true, Jesse.
In the beautiful reflection that you offered, I'm still struck by the importance of being able to put God at the center. We spoke a little bit about that last segment, and we talked about spending time in adoration, maybe doing a daily rosary, or just picking up the scripture. Those are things that you can recommend to help deepen our relationship with God, and also to be more welcoming as we place him at the center of everything.
Now, I would add this, Jesse. I would be short, that we are plenty of time for so many things.
Right.
But we don't have time for prayer.
Mm.
We don't have time for, when it comes to spiritual aspect of our lives, we put it later. We can do it. We say we buy time.
Right. And in making that very small change, whether it's putting the phone down or spending quiet time, I've experienced personally the value of turning everything off and sitting quietly. But having that time or going to adoration, even if it's just for a few minutes, I'm sure parishioners there at St. Peter, Prince of the Apostles, have come to you, Father, to say, I've gone to adoration and it changed me. Or getting in the habit of doing it gives them a sense of centeredness, which is what God is calling us to do as we place him at the center of what we do.
That is very true, Jesse. You hit the nail. Many people have told me they were touched by God. And these are the ones who never thought they would be touched.
Right.
So what you said is exactly happening.
Another thing I was going to ask you too, Father, while we're talking about being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, being there with Jesus in adoration, and something that I have wondered myself, when we're there, what are some things that maybe you can offer us to help us really value that time with Jesus more? Sometimes I think we're there and we do recognize that he is truly present in the sacrament, but what do we say? What do we do? What are maybe some suggestions you can make for us to have a deeper experience when we do go to adoration?
As for me, when you kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, let Jesus talk to you. Always we are the ones who want to talk.
Right.
But give him a chance. Mm-hmm. In the silence of your heart, let him talk. And you listen. Mm-hmm. That would be the number one method that I think I recommend you to follow, mm-hmm, to all the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Letting the silence guide you toward what God is trying to speak to us about. And for everyone, it's different. I think people, they don't really know, okay, I'm here. I am in front of the Lord. He's here present. But what do I say? How do I approach him? That's a beautiful suggestion that you made, just to open your heart and let him speak. Are there any other prayers that you could suggest that would be beneficial for people that are beginning the practice of going to adoration?
Just normally when we approach the Blessed Sacrament, we know that we worship him, we adore him. He is really present in the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is standing right in front of us. Mm-hmm. What a blessing, correct? So, and then there's nothing wrong in telling, Lord, I'm here, you know me. And now some people only talk, mm-hmm, but he knows already who you are.
Right.
So that's why you have come to him, mm-hmm, because he is your creator, he is your God, and God is omnipresent and all-knowing. He knows you. Mm-hmm. So, but there's nothing wrong. We are human beings. Telling, Lord, this is me. Okay, mm-hmm, that's fine. But don't stop at that. Go beyond. Maybe, let's say, just for a change, sing a song. You may not be a good singer. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not a good singer.
We offer it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sing a song. I do. Sometimes I sing. I sing terrible. But St. Augustine says, one who sings praise twice.
Beautiful.
I'm not telling you to bring an orchestra and sing. That's not, but simple.
Do what you can.
Yeah, so in your own words maybe. The notes may be completely different, mm-hmm, but what satisfies you and your God?
And it's from your heart.
That could be one way of, I've seen people, I've given this advice to people, and they have come back and said in tears, Father, I never thought that I would be touched by the Blessed Sacrament. But you know me, I can't sing, but I sang and I felt good.
That's a beautiful.
So that's one of the ways.
That's a beautiful way of doing it. And to make time to do that frequently, to go and be there in front of the Lord, offering our time, offering our reflection. And such a beautiful suggestion. Father, thank you for that guidance. And in finding our time with God and in front of the sacrament, not only do we place him at the center, but we work toward building that peace that St. Matthew tells us about this Sunday. Thank you so much, Father, for your reflection. If you would now end the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that has nourished our hearts today. Help us to place you at the center of our lives, so that our thoughts, our words, and actions may always reflect your love. Teach us to welcome others with kindness and generosity, seeing in every person the face of Christ. Open our hearts to the lonely, the poor, the stranger, and those most in need of your compassion. Grant us the grace to be faithful in the small things, to offer a helping hand, a listening ear, a word of encouragement, and a simple act of love each day. May we never grow tired of doing good, knowing that no act of kindness is ever wasted in your sight. Bless our families, our parish communities, and all those we carry in our prayers. May the example of your Son inspire us to live with humble hearts, generous hands, and a steadfast faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.